Hello and welcome back to the Mouth of Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. Now, it's been a while since the last one that we've done. Since then, just to remind everyone, Newcastle United qualified for the Champions League. Joining me today is Dom and Miles. First of all, Miles, how good does that sound? Newcastle United back in the Champions League.
Well, think back to 12 months ago, and if someone had told you the club would be finishing fourth and return to the Champions League, I don't think anyone would have quite believed it. At the time, I thought pushing for sixth or seventh would be a good season. Obviously, the club's had a great season, and it's still sinking in, really.
Dom, as Miles said, it was a deserved end to a brilliant season, wasn't it? For the transformation over the last 18 months under Eddie Howe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been up there all season, really, in and around the Champions League places. And it got to the point, I'm pretty sure we've said on this podcast, where Newcastle was so far into the season and so high up the table that anything less than a Champions League spot would have been a disappointment. But to get it over the line with a game to spare as well, we've got to enjoy that sunny afternoon down at Stamford Bridge without any real fear of anything happening. We just played for third or fourth place, which unfortunately Newcastle didn't get in the end. But yeah, fourth place, and to look ahead to some potentially exciting European away days in the Champions League group stage next season. It's a really exciting time for everyone associated with the football club, really.
Absolutely. It's one that I know us as journalists and fans are looking forward to. It's going to be a great season ahead. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of everything that's gone on over the last few days or so, we'll have a quick, look back at the season just gone. As is before we join this, name your goal and player of the season. I'll give you a couple more minutes thinking time, but my goal of the season for me was Miguel Almirón for his goal against Fulham, the volley. I think just the sheer audacity to even attempt that and then the skill to finish it was unbelievable. Player of the season for me was Fabian Schär. I think there's you could probably name all 11, to be fair, and give big cases for them, but no one would be surprised to see that I've gone with Fabian Schär. I think him in that defensive unit, they were the best defensive team in the Premier League. I think he was Trippier to the right was probably very good going forward. But Schär was the one that glued everything together. That Botman back beside him, who's never played, Premier League football. I think Botman was made to look like almost world class at times because of Fabian Schär next to him. So that would be for me. There was lots of candidates, but Fabian Schär is my player of the season. Dom, what are your picks for them for goal and player of the season?
Yeah, we haven't deliberated this beforehand, but I agree with you. I made notes when you asked the question, when you sent the email over, Fabian Schär player of the season, which I actually thought would be an unpopular opinion slightly. I thought people would go with Joe Linton, who I think's been incredible this season. He's sort of progressed from that transformed midfielder we saw last season and taking things up a level. The consistency he's shown has been brilliant. So if I couldn't pick Fabian Schär, I'd probably go with him. The way he's been so effective both in a midfield role and out wide on the left wing when he's been used there and linked up well with Joe Willock's been excellent and just basically stopped the opposition playing almost every game. And to get 8 goals as well, his best return in a Newcastle shirt. Yeah, Joe Linton has been fantastic. And if you look at my Shields Gazette's seasonal player ratings, it's Joe Linton and Fabian Schär, the top two. So, yeah, Fabian Schär, like you say, is maybe not the most fashionable pick, but if you look at the back five, including Nick Pope, statistically the best or joint best in the Premier League this season. And Fabian Schär's been, in my opinion, the most consistent performer of that back five week in, week out. He's been a 7, 8 out of 10 is distribution from the back. Okay, sometimes he may overstep his mark and misplace a pass, but some of the passes he completes, I mean, Newcastle put a compilation of those passes out on the social media channels. There was just so many, and those two assists, I think, he had for Joe Linton, just dink balls over the top against Spurs and West Ham. Just his ability to impact things at both ends of the pitch this season has been brilliant. And it's a shame after starting the season so well with that goal against Nottingham Forest, he wasn't able to add to it because he certainly got that in his locker, and he was unfortunate to have that goal disallowed against Everton back in April. But yeah, brilliant season for him. He's really stepped up to the mark. And if I couldn't pick Fabian Schär because you picked him, Joe, I would go with Joe Linton. And then my goal of the season, again, also Miguel Almirón against Fulham. Just the sheer technique of it. You don't really see goals scored like that very often, to sort of see it over his shoulder, outside of the foot, find that corner. Remarkable. I think if you asked him, no offence to Miguel Almirón, if you asked him to recreate that 99 times out of 100, he wouldn't be able to. So that was a special goal for me, and that was my goal of the season as well.
Miles, any disagreements, or are we all
Yeah, well, I'll go with Glynnon, though, with obviously strong shout-outs for Cher. Longstaff as well, underrated. One of the players who's kind of quietly gone about his job, let others shine. Obviously, Trippier, the club's player of the season, strong candidate as well. Nick Pope too. But yeah, I'll go for Glynnon. He's not always got the headlines, or not got too many headlines. He just quietly got on with his job, stopped other teams, started attacks. But yeah, it's interesting. You both pick out Cher, given that he wasn't even in the team when Eddie Howe took over. He was essentially frozen out at the time. He hadn't played for a couple of months. We didn't see his future necessarily as being at the club under Bruce, and that his transformation back to the player we saw when Rafa was in charge has been extraordinary, really. He was brought in for Howe's first game, hadn't played hardly at all, a little bit rusty, but it's just got better and better since then. And of course, he had a goal of the season candidate. I think it was against Forest. It had been a while since we've seen him strike the ball like that, which we know he can do. I'll go with Glynnon.
Perfect. And goal of the season, are you with Almirón or?
I'll pick something different. Again, it's hard. I've made a few notes here. There's a couple of them that really stand out in my mind as much for the pass as anything. It's Willock's pass for Isak against Spurs. And then, of course, you've got Isak's pass for Murphy at Everton. Those two really stand out. In terms of striking the ball, that Almirón, that goal, and then there's obviously Sam Maximum at Wolves. That was a great hit. But maybe Isak's, I suppose it's not assist of the season, but the Isak for Murphy at Everton really stands out. That was a brilliant moment.
Absolutely. I think it's just fantastic that we've had this discussion for the best part of 8 minutes, and we've all come up with different reasons.
Yeah. I was going to say that there's a high bar this season, really. Yeah. And, you know, there was two or three contenders in one game against Spurs alone, really. It's been extraordinary. You know, you think back again a year or two ago, the team couldn't score. And now we've got a long list of 10 or more goal of the season kind of candidates, which is quite something.
Absolutely. We've now got just about two months off from regular week in, week out football before they go again. The club, as club, Newcastle, as most clubs in the country, have sort of shut down right now. You know, it's a sort of quiet period before pre-season ramps up. But we've seen a lot of news break out from the club recently with the latest on the sponsors. We've seen Fun 88, you know, that relationship come to an end. Reports about who was going to be the new front of shirt sponsor. Miles, what's the latest, or what's your latest understanding of that situation with the Fun 88 in the front of the shirt sponsor?
Well, we understand it will be Seller, the events company based in Saudi Arabia. Again, another company that kind of PIF Public Investment Fund are involved in. It's just a case of waiting for that deal to be announced. I think we've seen some leaked images. We'll have to see if that's exactly the kit. But right at the end of the season, that deal was almost done. And I think we're just kind of waiting for that one to be announced.
Joe, you're muted.
We've also seen Fun 88 and that relationship ended. Dom, it's, you know, they've been part of the club for, I should have done my research on this, however many years, you know, under the Mike Asherin, and we've seen a lot of things on social media, just what they were like as sponsorship, and how it is good to see them stay on as their betting company overseas.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, since 2017, since I came back in the Premier League, they've been Newcastle's front of shirt sponsor. It's a long time, really, in Premier League terms. And ultimately, Newcastle as a club have just outgrown Fun 88 as a front of shirt sponsor. It's a deal worth, I understand, around £6.5 million per season, which ultimately is is not enough for where Newcastle want to be. When you look at the Noon sleeve sponsor, is more lucrative and more brings in more money to the club. So to have Salah potentially, that's what we understand, worth in the region of £25 million per season, that's more in keeping with the sort of fair market value, if you like, of a team who are in the Champions League next season, have ambitions to remain in and around those positions. So, yeah, that's good. And funny, yeah, remaining still partnered with the club as an Asian betting partner. I mean, it's a gesture. Gesture from the club that keeps them involved in.
I think it's also quite a cute move financially, because obviously, yeah, there was a cost to ending that agreement completely. Obviously financially it makes more sense to kind of have another agreement which rolls on. So I think that was quite a cute move from the club in terms of the way they've negotiated that, having ended the front of shirt sponsorship. There's obviously financial fair play implications to any buying the club it's out of any kind of deal, shirt, kit manufacturer and so on.
Yeah, we've seen recently, obviously, Jamie Rubin's on the podcast discussing the financial fair play is going to be something that's going to influence Newcastle, not just this window, but, you know, especially going in the future. They've signed that new deal with Noon to continue on the shirt sleeve. So that's you know, a good step in the right direction. But financial fair play is something that's going to impact them. One way they can not navigate that, but one way they can sort of help with their financial fair play constraints is by selling players. Now, we've seen recently Alisson Maximin, he put on a big, long Instagram post, which a lot of people interpreted as a sort of a goodbye message almost. What are your thoughts on St. Maximin, his future, that message, everything about St. Maximin? Is there even a role for him in this team? Is it now the right time, if he was to leave, is now the right time for him to go?
I think there's a few strands to this, really. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him leave the club. I know he's a popular figure. I've enjoyed watching him. And if he stays, I'm sure I'll still enjoy watching him. But it's been a difficult season for him, obviously, on and off the pitch. He's alluded to issues and things in his own life, which have been a challenge. But in terms of the players that we see could leave, he's the most saleable. And that's not to say he's not going to fetch a big fee, a massive fee, but he would certainly fetch a fee. And I think it's as much to do with what he wants to do, really. Is he an Eddie Howe player? Would Eddie Howe go out and sign him tomorrow if he wasn't a Newcastle player? I don't think so. Can he fit into this team? Yes. Can he make an impact? Yes. Can he win matches? Yes. But I think he'd be a squad player going forward. He's not one of your first 11. And is that where Alisson Maximin wants to be going forward? He has ambitions to play for France. And I think it's interesting, that statement that does point to a potential exit this summer. He says his career is at a turning point. What did he mean by that? Well, we maybe get some clarity soon. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see him leave. It would be a challenge to replace him. That's another player you've essentially got to go out and find this summer. But it may help the club in terms of the budget and going out and getting a different type of player. So we'll have to see. It's certainly been a frustrating season for him. He's had those more spells out injured with hamstring problems. We've seen glimpses of what he can do. I mentioned the Wolves goal. You know, how I asked Eddie Howe about him after the Chelsea game, and he kind of praised the way he applied himself there. But we haven't seen him at his best for nearly often enough. And I think there's a big question mark over his future.
Dom, if you were in that position, either Eddie Howe or the board, what would you see out St. Maximin's future?
Depends. It really depends on if you have someone to bring in. Newcastle, in preparation for Champions League football, competing in the Premier League as well, need all the players they can get. And I think St. Maximin still has plenty to offer in that regard. I do like him. He was limited to around a dozen Premier League starts last season due to injury and basically Newcastle being in such good form that he couldn't get back in the side. But just one league goal, I don't think he scores enough. He got a few assists as well. His performance against Man City at the start of the season shows just what he can offer at Newcastle against top sides. But I think Miles is right. He is probably Newcastle's most saleable asset that they can realistically afford to get rid of, and he wouldn't necessarily weaken the starting 11, if you like, because you'd have potentially Joe Linton, Alexander Isak on the left side instead of him, and obviously Joe Willock, Bruno, Sean Longstaff in the midfield. So, yeah, St. Maximin, it's a tricky one. Personally, I would potentially be tempted to cash in on him if you could get to 30 million, I think would be not beyond the realms of possibility, given his age. He's 26 and he is at a sort of crossroads in his career, if you like, where he's not necessarily playing regular football. And I spoke to him a few times over the course of the season, and a telling quote for me is he said he's no longer important at Newcastle, which was more reference to what is importance under Steve Bruce, where basically Newcastle's tactics were to give the ball to him and see what he could do. And now with Eddie Howe's more regimented, more focused tactical approach, his role has become a bit blurred slightly, and where does he fit into the team? And the fact that he said he's no longer important at Newcastle is potentially telling. And the latest Instagram post, he's done similar before, but this is probably the most substantial and the most clear goodbye message, if you like, if you want to call it that and speculate. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. And if we've had interest from AC Milan in January for St. Maximin, he admitted as much. If they were to come back in the summer, or someone else, a European club, then I'd be tempted as Newcastle to cash in on that.
I agree. I think St. Maximin for many was one of the reasons to watch Newcastle for a long period of time, for a good couple of years. He was the reason, you know, to keep watching. It'd be interesting to see what happens this summer with him. And we will talk about incomings. We've touched on a little bit. We'll get that in a minute. But there is going to be other players that leave the club. Currently, you've got Mark Gillespie, Loris Karius, Matty Longstaff, Kieran Clark, Matt Ritchie and Paul Dummett all are set to leave the club, you know, in a couple of weeks' time when the contracts expire. And we imagine that, you know, quite a few of them will end up leaving, but there's a couple of players there which could end up staying on. You've got Paul Dummett, Eddie Howe's often talked about wanting to keep him, Matt Ritchie is similar. And we've seen recently Loris Karius might even be in their minds for an extension. Miles, for sort of them six players, what can you see any of them staying, and what would be the benefits for keeping any of them?
Certainly can see Paul Dummett staying, signing an extension. Obviously, it's been well discussed, the kind of squad rules, especially for the Champions League, homegrown quotas and so on. Matt Ritchie, I can totally understand why Eddie Howe would like to keep him around. Off the pitch, He's an incredible character. You know, on the training pitch, he's first on, last off. I've seen that myself, what he's like. He's great in the dressing room. But I think Matt Ritchie, kind of knowing him, he'll want to go and play football. He play week in, week out. And especially the fact that he's been apart from his family for so long as well. They've been based in the South. So I'll probably be surprised if he stays, even though Eddie Howe would love to keep him here. Gillespie, you would imagine he would want to go and play football somewhere. He's hardly played since he's been at the club. He's just played a handful of games, really. Karius is an interesting one. I think that potentially is bound up in the future of Martin Dubravka, who I spoke to at Stamford Bridge. And there's a question mark over his future as well, really. Does he want to go away and be a number one? Eddie Howe's not the kind of manager that will keep someone against their will. He's not the type of manager who will stand in a player's way if they want to go out and play week in, week out. So I think that'll be down to Martin Dubravka, what he wants to do. And obviously the others, you know, Carl Darlow, you imagine, he could well leave. Matty Longstaff at the end of his contract, he'll go. I've just got working through a list here. I don't know if there's any others I've missed out, but I think there's a few question marks. Jamal Lewis again, you would imagine he will leave. None of these players, of course, unlike St. Maximin, are going to command any kind of fee. Some of them are obviously out of contract as well. So I think there's going to be quite a bit of churn in that squad, even if one or two do stay.
Absolutely. I think there has to be movement out. You know, the 25-man Premier League squad, for example, is full. You've touched on Champions League requirements. So there's going to be a lot of business in and out of the club, I'd imagine, this summer. But it's going to be an exciting one. Obviously, Champions League football, that's a higher calibre of player. They can sort of attract on that. There's been lots of links recently. Dom, are you going to be able to summarise all of the links of recently? I won't get you to do maybe all of them, but just some of the key ones. What would you see are there, where they want to strengthen, who's sort of in the picture for that area?
Yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, the transfer window isn't even open yet, and yeah, I've had dozens of names thrown at me. I think the ones that stand out, obviously, James Maddison, who's been a long-term target. Newcastle will, I'd expect, make a bid for him when the transfer window opens. Leicester being relegated obviously gives them a bit of manoeuvrability and sway potentially to try and get him. Harvey Barnes is also someone who's on the radar, but probably a lesser priority than Maddison. Kieran Tierney as a left back. I think Newcastle played the majority of the season with Dan Burn arguably playing out of position at left back, and Matt Target is sort of falling down the pecking order. So if you can get a sort of European class left back in Kieran Tierney for the fee being discussed around £30 million, then I think Newcastle would look to do that. And then you're looking into Europe. We've had a few players linked. The lad from RB Leipzig, I won't try and pronounce his name. Gabri Vega as well, from Celta Vigo. But those are probably slightly further out there targets who obviously attract plenty of interest from other clubs as well. But I'd say the top ones at the moment, Premier League proven, James Maddison and then Kieran Tierney.
As Dom said, Miles, the City seems like they're pretty much all areas of the pitch are going to aim to strengthen this summer.
Yeah, it's interesting. Eddie Howe's repeatedly talked about recruiting a small group of players. You know, how do you define small? We're not going to see the kind of like numbers that we saw arrive at Nottingham Forest a year ago. He's not that kind of manager. He doesn't want to disrupt the squad massively. He's spoken about these players deserve a chance. But when you go through the squad itself, we're going to see six or seven or more players potentially leaving. I know some of those are outside the 25-man Premier League squad. So there's quite a bit of business to do, and it all depends on the budget. You know, we believe that, you know, the budget will be in excess of 100, maybe up to £150 million, depending on, you know, these commercial deals, how the Champions League revenue and so on fits into the overall picture. But that's still a lot of players to get and a lot of quality to get for that that kind of budget. Are they going to spend £50 million on one player, Maddison, who's out of contract in a year's time? I think it all depends what kind of deal they could do with Leicester. We know how much Eddie Howe likes Maddison. Certainly midfield's an area they want to strengthen. You would imagine another striker's on the agenda. As we said, left back and Tierney looks a very good option for that position. And then you look in the wide areas again, especially if Sam Maximum's going. So they've got a lot of work to do, and if they're looking to bring in quality rather than quantity, they're going to have to make that money stretch quite far, really.
Absolutely. It's going to be a very interesting summer, and obviously the best place you can keep up to date with all the latest transfer news and updates is with the Shields Gazette. Miles, Dom, thank you for joining me on another episode of the Mouth of Time podcast. Please subscribe for future episodes and sign up for our new Newcastle United newsletter that will deliver the latest news from St James Park straight in your inbox. Miles, Dom, thank you, and thank you for listening.